Good morning. Looks like we all managed to get our clock set ahead and get up on time and get here, and we're glad for that as we come into the season of daylight savings time. I always enjoy this. In fact, I wish we'd just stay on it all year myself. We realize that light is good. Just about everything we do is performed better and safer in the light than it is in the darkness. We appreciate light. We spend a lot of money in order to have light. We learned how to control electricity and get it to our homes, and we've got all kinds of light bulbs and all of those things because we realize the value of light. It's interesting to me, and as I was preparing this lesson, I was thinking about another lesson that I could do, and you'll see some of it as we go through this lesson, how that the Word of God often equates death with darkness and life with light. And I believe there's a reason for that. Both of these things we're familiar with, and we've experienced them, and realized the value of them. But this morning, I want to talk about light in the midst of darkness. And of course, the greatest example of that is Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, our Lord. In Matthew chapter 4 and verses 13 through 17, we read, "Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up.' From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom is at hand.'" Notice that Isaiah prophesied that light would shine in the midst of darkness. It's not that Zebulun and Naphtalim were the only places that experienced light and darkness. What the point of this is that Jesus at this point is beginning to fulfill the prophecy, and this prophecy and all of the prophecies of concerning him and the spreading of the gospel of Christ. The wages of sin is death. Jesus, of course, came to pay the price of our sin in his death for us. When we recognize that physical death is when our spirit is separated from our physical body. Spiritual death is when our spirit is separated from God. And so, this spiritual death is a darkness. We are in a realm of darkness. We're not attached to that which is light. But when we come to Christ, we find life and we find light. He is the source of light. You remember that you go back to the very beginning of the Bible, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, because darkness was upon the face of the deep. Before God spoke light into existence in our realm, it didn't exist. It had always existed in his realm because he is light. Here we see that the people who sat in darkness, the darkness of their sin, the darkness of their death, because of their sin, saw a great light. He who is light. Jesus, the Christ. "And to them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up." And so Jesus began to preach and to say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice also John chapter 1 and the first five verses. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Those who choose to remain in their darkness, who love the darkness rather than the light, can remain in the light. God doesn't force anybody to come to the light. But those who are of the light come to the truth. And this Word of truth, this Word of God made flesh. Chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Here we have the Word of God, the light of life, in the midst of darkness, spiritual darkness, but the light is now shining. What do you do when you're in a dark place and you don't like being in that dark place? And you see a light. What do? You go to the light. For there is comfort and security and peace. And this, in the same sense, God is using these figures to show us how we will greatly appreciate and love being in the presence of the light. Jesus is the light of the world. In John 12 and verse 46, he said it this way, I am come a light into the world, that whoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. We don't have to dwell in the darkness of our sin. We can come and walk in the light of truth and righteousness and peace and grace with he who is light. John 9 and verse 5, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And we might say, well, wait a minute. Jesus isn't here anymore. Does that mean the light is gone? Well, Jesus isn't here, but the Word is still here. Not the Word made flesh, but the Word of God delivered, inspired, breathed of God, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and explained to him. All Scripture is breathed of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped to every good work. So the Word is still with us. Now I want you to notice Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul, and as Jesus appeared to him, as it's recorded in Acts 26 and verses 16 through 18, Jesus is speaking to Saul, and he says, rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Notice this sanctification, this power of God, this light that he's talking about. He said, and faith is all in Christ. It lies in Christ. And he's telling Saul, I've appeared to you for the purpose that you are to take my message to those who dwell in darkness, that their eyes may be opened, and they might leave the darkness of their sin and walk in my light. In the very same sense, then, you might say, well, Saul isn't with us either. No, but the Word is still with us. The Word that Jesus spoke, the Word that was given to Saul, the Word that was given to the apostles and the prophets of the first century, they've recorded it for us so that we might know all truth, that we have all light to bring us out of the darkness and into His light. Notice, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 7, it says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, that's talking about in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, let there be light, that God who said, let there be light, and there was light, that same God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has shined in our hearts. For what purpose? There was a purpose that He did that. There was a way that He did it in His Word, but He did it for a purpose, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, that's interesting to me because we can look at all of God's creation. We can look at microcosms of God's creation and we can see the glory of God, the glory of the Creator. We can look at the entirety of creation and see the glory of God. But I want you to appreciate with me, as it's being revealed here, that we do not see the fullness of the glory of God until we see it in the face of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I've never seen the face of Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God made flesh. And when you open His Word, when you open the Word of God, you're looking at the Word of God in the face. Have you ever thought about that? Here is where the true, ultimate glory of God is revealed to us. The light that brings us out of darkness and into the light of Almighty God. So, God has shined in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I have here in the picture the little lamp that was used in Bible times that was very easy to craft. You just take a piece of clay and flatten it out and then kind of bowl it up and pinch it together on one end and fire it and get it hard. And then put oil in there and a little wick maybe hanging out the end of it, and you've got a little lamp to carry around. I don't know how many lumens that would be, but not a whole lot. But it'd be enough to dispel the darkness. It'd take a place that you couldn't see what you were doing and make it so you could see. You ever done that at night? We do that with our cell phones and stuff now, don't we? You know, we don't have to use our flashlight on our cell phone, although sometimes we might, but we might be in a room and it's dark and we just bring it up and bring up the display on the cell phone. That's enough light to be able to see where we're going. Well, these little lamps would give off more light than that. Very simple, earthen vessel. And He's talking about we are the earthen vessels now. We have this treasure of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When we read and understand and teach the Word of God, The Word of God is to be glorified, not the individual who's presenting the Word, but the Word itself. We want the glory to go to the Word and to God who gave us the Word. It was given to us by His favor, by His grace, that we might see His glory in the face of Jesus Christ. All of the glory goes to Him. Has He entrusted this great treasure in a very common and earthen vessel? Yes. He's entrusted it to us to share with others. But all the glory goes to Him. And when we let His Word be seen and heard in our lives, He is glorified. The light is seen, and those who are in the darkness have the opportunity to come out of the darkness of their sin and to walk in the righteousness of the words that they are hearing and that they are seeing displayed in the life of the believer. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says it this way, whose minds the God of this age, that would be Satan, has blinded, who do not believe that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan doesn't want us to hear the word of truth. He doesn't want us to see the light of life. And we can choose not to see. We can choose not to believe. We can harden our heart and close our minds and our heart and our eyes to the Word of God. Realize that when you're doing that, you're under the power of Satan and not under the power of God. But the power of the light can dispel that darkness if you'll just open your heart to practice His Word. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? Why did He place it within us? Why did He entrust it to us? First of all, to perform the task for which we were formed. We were created to live to the glory of God. God created us that we might reflect His glory. Just as the moon reflects the glory of the sun, so also we are to reflect the glory of God. We are to bring glory to the one who formed us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 7, that's what we just noticed. That God shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that we might also show the excellence of the power of God, and that excellence may be given to Him, and that it's of Him and not of us. We're to bring glory to Him in letting His Word shine through us. In Matthew 5 and verses 14 through 16, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said it this way, "You are the light of the world." That's interesting, isn't it? Because earlier we noticed that John records the fact that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." What's that indicate to you? That indicates that just as Jesus was the light of the world by letting the Word of God be seen and heard, we are to do the same. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You go to the trouble of making a candlestick, and maybe a candlestick holder. You know, that requires some work, doesn't it? And regardless of what you make the candlestick holder out of, that requires some effort, some time, some skill. It takes a little bit of effort and skill to make a candle, doesn't it? Have you ever made a candle? I might have, but I forget if I've ever done it. But I've seen it done. It take some time to do that. Why would you go to the time of making a candle, making a candlestick, and taking the candle and putting it in the candlestick, and then never lighting the candle? Now, I know there are some candles you're not supposed to light. They're making more every day, folks. Go ahead and light it. They're for a purpose, aren't they? We make candles to light them, that the light might be seen, that it might dispel the darkness. And Jesus is reasoning with us on that very basic element in these words. You're the light of the world for a reason. You don't light a candle and then cover it. That defeats its purpose. You let the light shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Not our good works. We've just been taught how to do them, how to honor Him and how to glorify Him. Let your light so shine that people might see your good works and glorify God, glorify Christ, and walk in the glory of their light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "You are a chosen generation." Christians, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar or purchased people. For a reason, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Sometimes we look at these phrases and we say, you're a chosen generation, and certainly our minds are brought back to the children of Israel who were God's chosen people. And they gloried in that. We are God's chosen people. They had a royal priesthood. They were a holy nation. They were a peculiar, a set-apart people. But he says now to Christians, he says, they were the type. You're the antitype. The church is the antitype of that. You are the actual chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy and peculiar, purchased people. You are the very image of it. But don't make the mistake that Israel made and glory in the fact that, look at us, we're special. We're better than, no, we're not better than anybody. We were all in the darkness. The only thing that changes us is when we come out of the darkness into His light. And so He says, so show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let Him be glory. We are to bring glory to the One who formed us. And the light that is seen is a light that is certainly, we realize, is distinct from the darkness. If we are the light of the world, Jesus said you are, then realize that you're not like the darkness. And this point is brought out over and over and over again throughout the epistles. Notice, Romans 13, verses 12 through 14, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is dwelling in the darkness. And if you want to dwell in the darkness, that's your choice. But if you want to live in the light and the security and the peace of being in the light, then let no, make no provision for the lust of the flesh. Don't even entertain the thought. And when you find the thought crossing your mind, eradicate it from your thoughts as quickly as possible. And think on those things that are good and wholesome and trustworthy and honorable. Ephesians 5 and verses 8 through 14 says it this way. You were, Christian, you holy nation, you purchased people, you were sometimes darkness. At one time, you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things that are done of them in secret. How much fellowship is that? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Is that a little bit of fellowship? No, that's no fellowship. You are light. Walk as children of light. Verse 13 goes on to say, but all things that are reproved are made manifest, are made seen by the light. And whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. You sleep in the darkness, usually. But if we're in the darkness, we're separated from God. We can awake out of our sleep. We can arise from the deadness of our sin and walk in the light and the life that is in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 5 through 8 says it this way. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night. We are not of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Be serious about this. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. It's not an empty hope, it's a valid hope of salvation, validated by the Word of God and His promises to those who are faithful. Light is distinct from darkness. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It is most distinct in the midst of darkness. Say, well, everybody's practicing the works of darkness all around me. It seems that morally, society is going deeper and deeper into the darkness. And that may be true. In fact, the New Testament even tells us that evil men will wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better and better. It's going to get worse and worse. Unless the light continues to do its work. And the earthen vessels continue to let the light of God's Word be heard and seen in their lives. And hoping to turn those who are in the darkness away from their darkness and to walk in the blessings of the light that they participate in. Will the time come when they will no longer hear? Yeah, I'm afraid that time will come. It will be like those in the days of Noah when men only thought evil. The thoughts of their hearts was only evil. Have we reached that point? I hope not. Have we reached the point to where we call good evil and we call evil good? Yeah, shake your heads that way. Yep. Say, well, we've always done that. Yeah, but it's really getting amped up now. Be aware. Be aware. Be a vessel of light. Walk in the light. Come out of the darkness of your death because of your sin and walk in the light of life that Christ provides. Dwell in His peace and safety. Bask in His glory. And let His glory be seen in your life by living as His Word teaches us to live. If you're here today and you are not walking in that light, you realize that your sin has separated you from God and you are spiritually dead, won't you let Jesus pay the price for your sin in His death? Believe Him, trust Him, obey Him. Turn from your sin and from the darkness to walk in His light. Confess Him as the Son of God. Be baptized this morning for the remission of your sins and rise to walk with Him in newness of life and in the light of His Word from this day forward. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?